Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, the birthday boy. Tom, happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you for reminding me I am another year older.
Another year older. But
I guess I should be grateful I'm another year older, and thank you for that, too.
Yeah, we're all happy for you. I hope you have a great year.
Well, I hope we all do.
I hope so, too. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, the midweek edition, the first day of December 2021. If you thought November was warm, you're right. Third warmest on record in the Tucson area. So it was a very, very warm November. In the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, that's us, on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, Democrat, representing the 6th Ward in the city of Tucson. Councilman, how are you?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing
your
well.
Arm all healed up?
I think I've got a few more months to get that range of motion back. But I was just checking. Many people say it takes up to a year, so I'm halfway there.
All right.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
It was nice. Everybody from out of town was in town, and I kind of laid low and let my wife do all the socializing, and I just kind of hung in the background.
Just sort of stayed in the back, but you ate your fair share, hopefully.
I did not go to bed hungry.
Okay. This is really disturbing, this officer who killed a man in a motorized wheelchair, a shoplifting suspect. What's your take on it?
The guy being the officer, he had probably 15 minutes. This isn't a split-second decision. He had probably 15 minutes to figure out a strategy and implement it. He was on the radio getting assistance, getting backup, who showed up, had a chance to talk with another officer about what should we do, had options. You push a shopping cart in front of the wheelchair. You pick up the rear wheels so the motorized wheels don't turn. You stick your baton in his spokes, whatever. And of all the options he chose, after having all the opportunity to think through the scenario, was the least palatable one. And there is no justification for it at all. I would hope, I don't expect this, but I would hope that TPOA, the police union, doesn't immediately say that we don't know the whole story and, you know, we need to back the thin blue line. Everything that happens in a police officer's uniform is not correct, and this is clearly an example of that. No justification whatsoever.
Yeah, and of course, this has been turned over to the to Laura Conover, Pima County attorney. We'll see where that goes. There was also something that I think gives the department a very bad look, was an off-duty officer a couple of weeks ago with using a chokehold on a mother and daughter in the parking lot of a restaurant. That officer, I understand, is back on duty. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
I do. In fact, I was sharing those thoughts with people in my staff earlier today and my bride last night. Is this very simply, if you're in a situation like that, whether you're a cop or a citizen, you back away. You know, I don't know what the two women were doing, but frankly, throwing them to the ground and doing a knee on their neck kind of thing is again the wrong response. The whole after, you know, we've gone through the COVID thing and the police and the fire saying, you know, my way or the highway, and then these two incidents. I mean, their brand is really hurting right now, and I hope that there's some serious in-house, you know, behind closed doors, you know, guys, women, what are we doing to our own image with this kind of overreaction? And again, you know, I'm sure that we'll see both of these incidents in court, and frankly, I wouldn't try and stand up and defend the behavior. We have this whole thing, and Chris Magnus has preached it since the day he arrived, of de-escalation. And that word just does not fit in either of these situations, the parking lot or the wheelchair. And, you know, that we can't continue to choose an aggressive and, in some cases, fatal path and expect the community to say, I don't have all the facts. You know, at some point, I mean, that video of the guy in the wheelchair rolling away from the officers, plural, clearly was presenting no imminent threat to either of them. Now, was he presenting a threat to the public? Very, very perhaps, because he was carrying a knife into a Lowe's Super Center. Okay, but you have other ways to stop that. You've got mace. You've got your baton for the wheels. You've got a taser if you necessary. I mean, you've got all these other things, but to choose lethal force, yeah. And you don't throw some 61-year-old woman down into a parking lot, even if she does. You know, even if she does chest bump, then you turn and you walk away, right? I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, it's just very troubling. It's a terrible look for the Tucson Police Department. The deadline for the city's vaccination is getting everybody vaccinated is today. I understand there's really only a handful of employees. Am I wrong about that? That have not been fully vaxxed?
Well, yeah, you're kind of right and kind of wrong.
Okay.
Right now, we have 20 employees who have said, "I'm not getting vaccinated. I'm just not playing with you guys in that sandbox." But we have about 400. Who have asked for either a medical exemption or a religious accommodation. So we have a fairly significant number of employees, and unfortunately, 124 of them are police officers and 144 of them are fire department employees. So of the 400, what was that, 260, 270 are police or fire. I think that's really unfortunate. I do not believe for a second that 400 of our employees, 10% of our employees, have some serious religious issue with vaccinations. I suspect they did not take that position when they were enrolling their kids in K-12 and were asked to get hepatitis and smallpox and polio and MMR and all those. This is all a function of the COVID vaccination. And if you want to take a position and say, "I don't think it's been tested enough," or whatever the 20 people who are saying, "I'm not taking your vaccine," say, that's fine. But let's not claim, and I'm just going to be saying, let's not claim some sort of phony religious thing about vaccinations. And if that is your position, then let's see how consistent you are. Do you take that same position from a religious standpoint on all the other vaccines that you probably have taken all your life, that you would take if you have to join the military, that you will take if you have to travel or enroll kids in school? You know, so there are all these different situations where vaccinations are required. 400 of our employees have said, I've either got a medical exemption or a religious accommodation, or both in many cases. And I'm not buying that.
I'm just curious, is that accepted as face value if somebody says, "I've got a religious exemption," or I would think they'd have to, or for a medical exemption, some kind of a doctor's note or something?
So we know there's a doctor or two or more out there who are writing these exemptions. How do we know that? Because I've seen the solicitation on social media. Do they have to prove some sort of a religious situation? There's a conversation, there's a back and forth that happens with our HR department and department heads. There is a lawsuit filed by, I think it was Vince Leach, who filed a suit against us saying that if an employee says he or she has a religious conviction that precludes vaccinations, then you, the city, can't challenge that. You can't even engage into a dialogue. And so we've challenged Vince Leach, and we'll win that one too. There, we've won every one of the lawsuits that have been filed about this COVID vaccination stuff. And Leach is wrong on a federal level. You know, that is a dialogue that if a religious accommodation is requested, then the employer, whether it's the city or, you know, Raytheon, has a dialogue with the employee, and they work out some sort of accommodation. In our case, that will be, okay, then you test weekly, and you wear a mask while you're around coworkers or the public, and there is an OSHA challenge, Occupational Safety and Health Administration challenge, on the federal level right now. That was challenged by, oh God, I don't know, somebody filed suit against the Biden administration, and they're right now justifying the fact that this could be an OSHA requirement. Now, the reason that matters is that once that OSHA litigation is resolved, the city can take the position that this testing requirement that we're imposing on you as a result of your request for an accommodation, you need to do that off the job and it's on your own dime. My guess is that once that starts to happen and employees can't say, well, you need to pay for it and you need to do it on work time, once it becomes coming out of their pocket and on their own time, they might decide that, well, maybe that road to Damascus conversion that I had wasn't quite so serious after all.
All right, we're going to pause right here, Councilman Kasachek, and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. They had a great Thanksgiving. Many, many orders of pies, hundreds of orders of pies came in at Mona's, and now they are gearing up for the next big event, and that, of course, the Christmas holidays. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They open in the morning at 6:30 for breakfast. They're now taking your orders for Christmas. They're getting in the mood. They're going to have everything you need to make your Christmas very jolly and your holiday season full of flavor from Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. And they're open, as I say, right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They're home of the Danish Kringle. The Danish Kringle, well, just synonymous with Christmas. When you're talking about a Kringle, it just makes me think of the holidays. We'll be right back with Steve Kasachek. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, open daily. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, your destination for living holiday gifts, and 25,000 poinsettias grown right at Green Things. Stop by during the holidays for all of your poinsettias and all sorts of beautiful things at Zocalo Village. Their website, zocalovillage.com. Let's continue now with our conversation with the Ward 6 Democrat Councilman Steve Kasachek. And let's go to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Rod has a question or comment for you, Councilman. Go ahead, Rod. Hey, Rod, you're on the air.
Maybe not.
See if Tom, do you still have Rod with us there, Tom? Rod, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. We can hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just, I heard on the other, on a different station this morning that the British just came out with a report on these vaccines that, that we were handing out to everybody that, they do pose a danger to heart attack and the heart risk. So, I mean, you know, maybe there's some good reason why people are reluctant to get this this shot. And turns out maybe there's some, it's maybe more detrimental to the to their health than to get it.
Well, any reaction to that?
In the state of Arizona, they have administered over 9 million doses of vaccine. I haven't heard of any have had that kind of a reaction. We have seen 5+ million people die of COVID in the last 18 months. The emergency rooms and the ICUs are not filled with people who are having adverse reactions to the vaccines. They are filled with people who are unvaccinated and going on the ventilators. So I don't know what other station Rod is listening to. There's an awful lot of phony science out on social media these days, and I'm just saying that the data do not support that contention. And I think that the wiser approach is the one that every reputable public health person that I've ever heard from or spoken to has recommended, and that is very simply get the vaccination. Especially with Omicron, the new variant now out, it is in the United States. It is largely a function of the unvaccinated population, probably in Southern Africa. I've been writing about this for weeks and weeks, if not months, saying that while we are gobbling up all of the vaccines in the richer countries, there are nations all over the subcontinent that have a like a 1 and 2% vaccination rate, and that chicken's coming home to roost now. And so we've got this new variant. All new variants look for, all viruses look for to mutate is an unprotected host. That's what we provided them, and now we've got yet another variant. So for Rod, I would focus on the reputable public health agencies. That would be the CDC. It would be the Stanford Medical School. It would be Harvard Global Health Institute. And all of them say get the vaccination. Get your flu shot, by the way.
Yeah, only 2% of the world's population, believe it or not, has even had a COVID shot. It's hard to believe, but that's true.
And that's why this isn't behind us.
Right.
And we've got, and like I said, we've been 9 million doses in the state of Arizona,
yeah.
And we still had 1.2 million cases. That's in one state.
Mm-hmm.
Pima County, we've had almost 160,000 cases of this. We've had 2,900 fatalities in Pima County alone. I mean, when is enough enough? I mean, let's understand. I mean, science sets the rules. You know, the virus sets the rules. not us. And I have never heard this level of dialogue about any vaccine in my entire life. I remember when we were taking polio vaccines on a sugar cube back in, you know, kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And but ever since then, it's been, you know, you get a shot in the arm, whether it's the flu shot or it's MMR or it's whatever. But it wasn't until this virus, this pandemic, that we started having this kind of dialogue.
And what, where does it come from? Well, let me give you my thought on it. It comes from the Internet. We didn't have the Internet when other people were saying, let's just get the shot. And now all the conspiracy folks are out there and spreading all these what I believe are lies, but that's another story.
I don't disagree with you. You know, this whole social media deal going on. I mentioned earlier about, you know, you asked about the doctors and don't you have to have a mm-hmm. medical mm-hmm. exemption? I've seen the Facebook posts. You know, come on down. I'll write you the exemption. I mean, it's like a badge of honor in some cases that I've got my medical exemption and I got a religious accommodation. I got both. I checked both boxes. Well, aren't you cool? You know, in the meantime, we've got healthcare people in ERs and ICUs working in full PPE garb for 12-hour shifts, holding the hands of dying people, while family members can't even get in the room and say their last goodbyes. And so this is I'm really passionate about this, and I think I could totally agree with you that this BS on the social media is really a part of the problem right now in terms of spreading this misinformation. And I just wish people would just tune that stuff out, tune in to some reputable public health professionals, and follow that, you know, follow that guidance.
All right, let's see if Matt can give us a real quick question before we close out with Steve Kasachek. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm very upset that the media was so, you know, lackadaisical dealing with the shooting in Michigan. It seems like we've moved on. You know, we just don't seem to have the level of response, you know, because of all the shootings.
You're second, right. You mean the school shooting yesterday?
The school shooting yesterday. It barely got any coverage.
Yeah. It's totally background noise now, and you're right. And the reason is because they are so commonplace, and it seems to be the way that we solve disagreements now. Now this was not a disagreement. I don't know. You know, we don't know the story behind mm-hmm. that, but you know, three young kids are shot and killed, and what was it, eight or nine, or however many the number was. But no, this used to be front page news, and now, like I said, now it's background noise.
Yeah, very quickly, Steve. You know, the Board of Supervisors has taken legal action. Are you at all concerned that this will in any way affect our cap distribution to the region? Thank you. Bye.
I'm assuming he's talking about the differential water rate?
Yes, he's talking about the suit that's okay. pending, the legal action
yeah.
that is
no,
being brought.
No.
Yes.
I don't think it'll have anything to do with our CAP allocation. They're two different conversations. One is about whether or not you charge a higher rate for unincorporated, and the other is a completely different deal, and that's based on the, you know, what's happening in Lake Mead and Lake Powell, and that's a much larger conversation. So I don't think it'll impact that. I am very concerned about our CAP allocations and very concerned about what's happening on the Colorado and the upper and lower basin states getting into litigation with one another over that. So that's a whole different topic we could spend the entire time on sometime.
All right. I've only got about 2 minutes. Steve Kasachek, tomorrow the mayor will deliver the state, actually your first in-person State of the City address. If you were up there in the mayor's shoes, what would you say the state of the city of Tucson is, Steve Kasachek?
Well, the underlayment of all of this is the impact of COVID, and so the message is, you know, we're not out of this. Be safe, get vaccinated. When you're in big large events, like for instance McHale Center, wear a mask and be safe about it. But as far as the city is concerned, we are, from an economic standpoint, we're doing very well. And frankly, one of the reasons for that is because of the CARES Act money and the ARPA money that we got as a result of COVID relief. If that hadn't been the case, we'd be having a completely different conversation. So we're doing well financially. I would point to some very serious issues that we've got in front of us. One is the PFAS water contamination, and the other one we just mentioned is water security on the Colorado and Lake Mead. And so we got challenges, but we're doing well from a financial standpoint. I am gratified that 99% of our employees complied. 89% are fully vaccinated, and so I think that most people are paying attention to the science.
Would you throw law enforcement issues in there as well as a problem?
I would call it an issue that we have to deal with. I don't know what's going on with these guys. I mean, we have to understand that everything that they do is going to be it's captured on body cam imaging. It's captured on people's cell phones. You got to realize that every word you say and every action you take is a potential headline and treat it that way.
All right. Steve Kasachek, thank you very much. Stay safe, okay?
You too, Bill. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman Democrat in Ward Number 6. Coming up next, let's talk about the Reed Park Zoo. Nancy Kluge is with us. We'll be talking with Nancy, CEO and President of the Reed Park Zoo, right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the following segment presented by Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed. Founded as originally an exhibit of exotic birds, the zoo has become one of America's top zoos with hundreds of animals from all over the world and welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. Nancy Kluge is the president and CEO of the Reed Park Zoo, and Nancy joins us now on the live line. Nancy, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well, and I know you're really excited. December is a huge month for the zoo, not only from a point of view of a great activity in zoo lights, but it's a really important fundraiser for the zoo as well. This is a big deal.
It is, and we're so excited. We did a test run on Monday night, and it looks beautiful. It's really one of my favorite zoo events, with the zoo decked out in lights and folks strolling through sipping hot cocoa and enjoying all the entertainment groups we have coming out.
And it's a big deal from the proceeds from this event, and I'd like you to explain to our listeners how big a deal is it as a fundraiser, and what are those funds used for?
Oh, it is. It's our biggest fundraiser that we have during the year. And those proceeds, they go for our education programs, items for the animals like the enrichment items. And what's really important is it also helps support our conservation projects around the world to protect these animals and save them from extinction.
And I know that you give back to several community organizations, so it's a big deal from that point of view as well, Nancy.
It is the season of giving, and it's just a great time with all of the people coming to Zoo Lights to make it easy to give back. If you bring two cans of food for the food bank, or a dog or cat toy, or food for the Humane Society, or a new unwrapped toy for the families getting help from La Frontera, you can get a dollar off admission each night.
Where are the? What's a good place to go for kind of finding out all of the events that are associated with Zoo Lights? Your website, would that be a good place?
Yeah, reedparkzoo.org. It's got all of the details. It'll talk about our member night that we have coming up this week, and Brew Lights, that'll be this Friday, with some of our craft brewers stationed around the zoo.
What's this about an enrichment tree? What's that involving?
That's another thing that you'll see on our website. And in the past, we had an enrichment tree where people select an item off the tree for enrichment for the animals. Last year, we started a virtual enrichment tree, and we'll do the same this year. People can select an item like a ball for the lions that has holes to hide treats in it, or a hammock for our otter. And when they select that, they can buy it right online, right there, and we'll follow up with them to show them the animals playing with their gift, and can also take them out to see the animals enjoying the gift that they bought for them. So it's fun for the animals and for the gifters.
Nancy Kluge, how about an update on the expansion? This has been in the news a lot this year. Where are we here as we get ready to close out this calendar year?
So short term, in 2022, we're excited that we're going to be opening a new home for a sloth in our South America area. Sloths are amazing animals that are tree dwellers and, of course, known for their slow movements, so that's exciting. On the larger items, World of Play is going to be a fabulous nature playground with an Antarctic ice cave where children can follow the march of the penguins, pretending they're a penguin zipping through the water and going on the bank to sit on their eggs. So that project is, we're getting it underway, actually starting this afternoon on getting that back rolling, and that should open in 2023. The big project that was in the news is Pathway to Asia. It's going to be home to some of the amazing animals from all different parts of Asia, tigers, Komodo dragons, red pandas, and beautiful pheasants. And that is also going to start getting underway. We plan to get design restarted again in a month or so, and that should open around 2025. So two long-term projects for the zoo's master plan. After that, we'll be following with changes in the middle of the zoo to provide bigger, more modern areas for our animals there, as well as adding hippos. So a lot coming.
Generally, then, the zoo expansion will take place in what direction there at Reed Park Zoo? Overall, it's moving to where?
So we'll be building in the current parking lot for the zoo and the aquatic center. And a new parking lot will be built just north of there where there is the current maintenance yard. So all hardscape, no green space taken. So it's really a great solution for everyone.
Were you always involved, even growing up, Nancy? Did you love animals as a child? I mean, what has led you to this point where you have been so active in our Reed Park Zoo?
I did always love animals. Yeah, I grew up coming to Reed Park Zoo. We moved here when I was 12 years old, and my mom was actually a docent in the 70s, and grew up to just really love the animals. I went a whole different route in school and majored in accounting. I'm a CPA. But when given this opportunity, I thought, gosh, I would really love to be a part of Reed Park Zoo and protecting the animals in the wild. That's such an important part of our mission and one that really gets me excited to share the love of animals so that people are connected and they want to protect them in the wild.
Zoo membership is really a bargain. I mean, you can really get into the year's membership for a very little amount of money. And if folks would like to give a little more, it would really be appreciated, wouldn't it?
It sure would. Every bit helps. Reed Park Zoo is a zoo that's it was built by our community, really. And all of those donations are what help us provide the highest level of care for our animals by our dedicated staff, and as well as providing more education programs and conservation programs.
As far as animals, the profile of your animals, did that change much in 2021?
We have some new additions with two new giraffes that joined our giraffe herd. also a new male lion, Tony. He is beautiful, a very tall, long lion. And recently we welcomed back to Reed Park Zoo after a long break, Joaquin, a male Andean bear, to join our female Oha. And we have a new baby zebra who doesn't have a name yet, but I expect to be hearing some information about that soon.
How about the baby elephant?
Oh, Mackenzie is just adorable. Oh, my goodness. We had her her one-year birthday in August, and everybody turned out for it, and she's just adorable.
So much work goes in behind the scenes that the visitors really don't see. Every one of these animals, there are special diets for all of them. That's a huge lift, isn't it?
It is. It is quite the operation just to watch the diets being made. So we have what we call a commissary keeper who arrives early in the morning and starts chopping the vegetables and fruit. They're provided by the same company that deliver vegetables and fruits to restaurants and chopping up the meat for their diet and getting each of the diets ready for all of the animals for the keepers to take out during the day. Some animals get fed once a day, some twice, some three times, depending on the animal. So it is a big operation. We've also put into place with all that's going on, making sure we aren't vulnerable to any supply chain issues. So that was a focus this year, to make sure we have a strong plan to make sure that food's always available on supply for our animals.
All right, Nancy Kluge, thank you very much. Thanks for everything you do for the Reed Park Zoo and for our community. And again, we want to direct people to the website. Go ahead, please.
www.reedparkzoo.org.
And there'll be all sorts of information about the big event this month, Zoo Lights, and really all the many programs that are underway at the Reed Park Zoo. Thank you very much, Nancy. I hope you have a wonderful and joyous holiday season.
Thank you. You also, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right. The Buckmaster Show takes a pause right here. We'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the Golden Standard for Cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. If the weather is a little too warm for you in Tucson, if you really want some late fall, more seasonal temperatures, take a 3-hour drive over to Silver City, mid-60s for the high and around 40 at night. Really delightful time of year in Silver City. We send so many of our listeners over there, and everybody comes back with the same, pretty much saying the same thing. Had a great time. Didn't know there was so much to do. You can find out all about a visit to Silver City by logging on to southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find things to do and places to stay. Lots to do over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Some really exciting news over at the Steele Children's Research Center here at the University of Arizona. A retired University of Arizona math professor has committed $1 million for pediatric cancer research over at the Steele Children's Research Center. This gift is in honor of the math professor's late wife. With us on the live line is Dr. Emmanuel Katsanis, a professor of pediatrics, medicine, pathology, immunobiology. He is a he is a professor of pediatric oncology over at the Steele Children's Research Center, where he directs active basic science laboratory. Doctor, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing fine. Put this gift into context for us. First of all, it's a huge financial commitment. What will that? How will that money be used, Doctor?
Well, it's a tremendous gift, and this will be used to facilitate the recruitment of an accomplished and promising young investigator who will come and join our team of researchers at the Steele Children's Research Center to expand our group in being able to improve treatments in pediatric cancer.
What have you witnessed in your 31 years as a pediatric oncology? What have you witnessed in the changes in survival rates?
Survival, I started exactly about 30 years ago in this field. And back then, for, let's say, the most common leukemia, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia, survival rates were in the range of 55% to 60%. And now we can say that for most children with this type of leukemia, we can offer them 85% to 90% cure rates. For a lot of other pediatric cancers, survival has improved as well. There's been a lot of new therapies, and I'm happy to talk about any one in specific if you're interested to hear.
I am interested to hear. Perhaps, though, before we talk about that, could you tell us a little bit more about this gentleman who and his family that made this gift? Could you give us some more information?
Yes, Dr. Bhattacharya, as you mentioned, is a professor at the University of Arizona. Unfortunately, he lost his wife, Guri, to cancer. And Guri, when she was undergoing treatment for her cancer, was witnessing kids also undergoing cancer treatment. And from what I heard, that made her feel even more courageous, and she started helping and donating money towards that cause. And in her honor, her loving husband decided after her passing that he would honor her wish and dedicate this large amount of money to support pediatric cancer research, which will happen at the Steele Children's Research Center.
Is the Steele Center considered one of the top pediatric cancer centers in the United States?
It's the only pediatric cancer center in the state of Arizona. And in a lot of areas, it's considered you know, one of the top in the research fields.
You had mentioned some specific programs. I'd love to hear about some of them that you're working on, sir.
My focus has been in bone marrow transplantation, which is a type of therapy that we use most commonly against leukemia, different kinds of leukemias that we see in children. Also, it's also used, obviously, in adults. And our focus has been on, since a lot of our patients cannot find an unrelated donor, we had focused on being able to do transplants from related donors that are not full matches. And in pediatrics, a parent can always be used even if they're only a half a match. So we've implemented this therapy 5-6 years ago with excellent results, and the laboratory is working on how we can even further improved our outcomes. The results, even with half-matched donors, approach and in many cases surpass that of a matched sibling transplant.
Dr. Katsanis, are a lot of these pediatric cancers, are they inherited, or what's your take on that?
Yes, most pediatric cancers are not inherited. Unfortunately, we don't know for most of them what the cause is. You know, we see cancers from a newborn baby, to, you know, young adults that we treat up to the age of 25. And you can see the same type of leukemia in an infant as you may see on someone, let's say, who's 40 years old. So most of them are not genetic. They, you know, it's rare that we would find in the family that someone else had the same type of leukemia.
Why did you decide to go into this particular area of medicine when you were a young medical student? You decided you could have made other choices. Why this choice?
I felt that when I rotated, you know, during residency through pediatric oncology and had to take care of these kids and their families, that, you know, it was sort of like a calling that I felt after I did that rotation, that I did not, you know, want to look at any other subspecialty. And if I was to do it over again, I would go in exactly the same field. I've been lucky to be touched by all these kids and their families over the years. Fortunately, today most of them survive, but over the years, obviously, we've lost a lot of patients that you never forget. And you just have the motivation to go back in the lab, you know, do more research and try to find better cures so we can one day be able to cure everyone.
Well, we're very fortunate to have the Steele Children's Research Center right here in our own backyard at the University of Arizona. Of course, this has got to be, from your experience, December's got to be a especially tough month for the kids, isn't it, at Christmas time and the holidays?
Yes, it is. But, you know, kids are brave and you know, when you see how they fight and how they go through every day, you know, they're just amazing.
Dr. Emmanuel Katsanis, doctor, thank you very much, and good luck with your research there and this wonderful gift of $1 million committed for pediatric cancer research. That's certainly a very, very bright spot in the future for Steele Children's Research Center. Doctor, thank you for sharing a few of your thoughts with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. A lot of ground covered today. Tomorrow we have Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, will be with us. We have our legal contributor, Dr. Don Luce, will be here, and the famed Dr. David Levy, former Parade Magazine science editor, and one of the most famous comet discoverers in history, with 22 comets that he has chalked up. And be nice if he could get to that. I know David's goal is an even 24. We'll talk to Dr. David Levy tomorrow as part of our lineup for you. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this, our Wednesday edition, the midweek edition. Hope you have a great afternoon.